My dad used to like the A-Team on TV, and that one guy there, Hannibal, I think he used to say, I love it when a plan comes together. Is that what he said? Yeah. I love it when a plan comes together, especially when it's God's plan. You know? And I do like, I really appreciate just confirmations of the words that God's put upon my heart. So today, it may not surprise you to learn that my sermon is about freedom, and that Tyler, who chooses our songs prayerfully, as we were praying before the service began today, he said, well, yeah, our last song is about freedom, huh? And that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, every single one of us was born to be free, right? Every single one of us wants to have freedom in the deepest and in the fullest sense of that word. Freedom, the opposite of being in bondage, the opposite of slavery, which no one wants. We all want to be free. So the scripture text, there's one verse, short verse, one you can remember, one that you can place in your heart and really just deposit there. It is John 8:36. And I know a lot of you can quote John 3:16, but you ought to be able to quote John 8:36 as well. John 8:36 says this, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, right? So if the Son, Jesus, sets you free, you will be free indeed. That's what we're all after, free indeed, really free. Freedom in its deepest and fullest meaning. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus offers us that this morning. Freedom is really a very important topic for us to talk about in church. True freedom. You know, freedom is something that is talked about everywhere, not just among Christians, right? And some people's idea of freedom, especially in the culture we live in the day we live in, some people's idea of freedom is different, sometimes drastically different, than God's idea of freedom. And I want you to make sure that we understand that, because never, never in my lifetime has there been such a confused understanding of freedom as there is today. Never. In my lifetime, has there been such a confused understanding? You see, people want to believe, that is, if they don't know Christ, they don't know the truth, people want to believe that freedom means that you can do whatever you want, whenever you want it, to whoever you want to do. Right? So that's their idea of freedom. And when our world is moving away from absolute truth, then I hope you can understand that that then the morality involved in true freedom is also degraded or lost. So, you know, we hear people demand freedom to say whatever they want, to do whatever they want, to enact upon themselves even. You know, I'm not here this morning to preach a message on abortion, but certainly in the topic that the Lord has laid upon my heart, it is an incredibly valid illustration of what I'm talking about in regard to the confusion of freedom that is in our world today. When an individual says that I am free to do with my body whatever I want, even if it means the killing of a child that lives within me, right? Then that personal freedom that they're desiring to exercise, that personal freedom is causing death and destruction. But you understand that it is the logical path, you know, the logical outcome of the path that those who desire freedom at any cost, that those who say that they want to be free to do whatever they want, it's the logical outcome. It means that, you know what, it's all about me. It's all about me. And I submit to you, and I always have, as you know, that selfishness is the root of all sin. I really believe that it is. Freedom, listen, here's the key point. Freedom, you ready, Tom? Freedom without responsibility is chaos. And in particular, freedom without responsibility to others, right, always then evokes destruction. Freedom without any valuing of your neighbor brings pain, hurt, murder, destruction. You know, this is the time of the year when students are graduating, right? College, high school. And it was interesting, as I was preparing for the message today, I found a commencement speech by the president of the Ford Foundation, right? And in that that speech, Darren Walker is his name, he talked about the Ford Foundation's commitment to democracy, and he said that as he was invited to speak at several colleges to give that commencement speech, he decided to reflect upon the four freedoms that President Franklin Roosevelt really expounded on in 1941. President Roosevelt, he said people should have the freedom of speech, the freedom of belief, the freedom from want, and the freedom from fear. And he said that that has always resonated with him. But in his particular address, he said what FDR did not say was this: while these freedoms may well be inalienable, it was Thomas Jefferson who said they are not inevitable. Our freedom, he said, as individuals, this is Jefferson, our freedom as individuals and collectively is derived from our responsibility to one another. That's powerful stuff. And so he went on to talk about, at four commencement speeches, he talked about the responsibility to serve, the responsibility to listen, the responsibility to accept and love one another, and the responsibility to act when it is within our power to do so for the greater good, right? For the good of our fellow brother and sister. How much more for our brother and sister in Christ, amen? So when Jesus said, "You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free," right? John 8:32. You know, the people that were listening to him at that time, they made a very flippant comment, a very revealing comment. When Jesus stood up and among the crowd at that time, when he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," the people who were his audience at that time answered and said, "We're already free." Right? You know, they were Jews. And so their comment was, "We are offspring of Abraham and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" You know, talk about revisionist history, Tom. You know what that is, when people kind of revise history to suit themselves, right? And that's what really went on that day in Jesus' audience, in his hearing, when he said those words. Because the fact of the matter is, the Jews were frequently enslaved, right? I mean, my goodness, one of the most powerful stories in the Bible is the story of the Exodus. The Exodus from what, church? the exodus from slavery, right? How soon we forget. And I say we because we got to be careful that living in a country where we say we are free, we got to be careful that we don't underestimate the power of Satan to enslave. Amen? Yeah. Jesus actually went on to say that everyone who sins is a slave to sin, right? Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. That was Jesus' own words. That means, by the way, that sin is just not a bad act, but it is a power underneath in our hearts that compels us to do bad acts. In other words, we sin because we are sinners. So our slavery is slavery to a power inside of us that Jesus came to destroy, to set us free from. That's what Jesus was talking about. You know, many in our Western world are really bored of hearing about sin. You know? And some of the most popular preachers of our day in America never mention it. But the thing is, you know, it's a very small-minded view to think that that we can ignore the topic that Jesus spent the most time talking about, huh? Bored of hearing about sin. It's because people think that sin just seems to be an offense against someone's old-fashioned morality. Old-fashioned morality. And usually they think when a Christian or a Christian preacher brings it up, it's always going to go to sex. Right? But that is a very small-minded view. Sexual sins matter. They matter very much. They can destroy a person, a marriage, a community. But there is more to sin than sex. And sin as a whole is a far greater issue than even the sum of its parts. When people rebel against God in whatever way, it literally creates new fields of force. It calls them into being, and that cumulative builds up, and individuals as well as societies become enslaved just as sure as if every single one of them wore chains and was hounded to work every day by a strong man with a whip. Jesus came to set us free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free indeed. You know, sin really, I love this definition. You know, sin enslaves by producing in us these compelling desires, right? Now, an easy way for you to remember this is sin enslaves by making anything look more desirable than Jesus. That's what sin is, desiring something above Jesus and then acting upon it. And the reality is, unless someone intervenes, sin leads to death and destruction, right? Destruction. I started this message a couple of weeks ago. If you remember, I talked about Samson, right? Do you remember the title I gave to him? You remember that Sunday? Uh-oh. Samson began his life with great expectation, right? He was to be the deliverer of Israel. In fact, there was really no one up until that time that was born into greater expectations than Samson. He had a fantastic future laid out for him. From birth, he actually enjoyed special privileges, right? And according to the scriptures, he was a Nazarite. Do you remember what that was? A Nazarite. His mother actually became a Nazarite when she realized that she was with child and was told by God, right? According to Numbers chapter 6, that this boy, this man, this boy that was in your womb that will grow into a man, Samson, is to be set apart for God. And as a sign of that, right, his hair was never to be cut. And he was never to touch a dead body. And he was never to drink fermented liquor, right? Now, the thing about him never cutting his hair, it was to set him apart from all other men. About never touching a dead body suggested that he was uniquely alive. And the prohibition, listen to this one, against strong drink meant that Samson was to find no other stimulus greater than God. He had incredible, incredible spiritual potential. And as he began to grow, as you know, he exhibited some pretty amazing physical capabilities too, right? It appeared to people that Samson could do anything. When the Spirit of God came upon him, miracles happened. In Judges 13, we read, the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. God came upon him, and the Jews began to expect great things. Samson had now come of age. Right? You remember when you came of age, right? You remember what that means, right? You felt like you were able to start what you were intended to be here for, right? You were able to start finding out what life is all about. Come of age. Samson came of age. He was going to deliver his people. And you know what happened? His life fell apart. It all began when he pursued a Philistine wife. Talk about consorting with the enemy, right? He made the mistake of having friends who led him into a life of total self-absorption. He used his power selfishly. And then, of course, as I mentioned, there was that Delilah experience, right? Eventually, Samson, right, gave in to this Delilah. And you know, in that story, Samson didn't realize that God had left him. He said, you know, and that last time she cut his hair, you know, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. That's what he said. That's recorded in Scripture. But he did not know the Lord had left him. You know why? Because he became desensitized to his true condition. Desensitized to his true condition. What a terrible thing to become desensitized to what really is your true condition. More on that one, right? Remember that. I'll get back to it. Samson's perception was shot, gone. His perception of reality was flawed, brother. He could not see clearly. And you know what's interesting? When the Philistine captured him, they made sure that he could not see physically. Do you remember what they did? Gouged out his eyes, huh? Him that was going to be the liberator of his people had just fallen into, well, the worst possible position of a slave. He could not have been any lower. He who was meant to be a deliverer had become the worst of slaves. But the even greater tragedy is that his life, that example, has become the agenda for countless thousands upon thousands upon thousands of human beings down through the century that have fallen into the same trap that Samson did. A life of great potential, a life of great potential that fell short. Why, church? Why did his potential fall short? Because he did not understand with freedom comes responsibility. Amen? That's the message, isn't it? It's the message of Christ. Those who seem to be free, who can be on the verge of accomplishing great things, suddenly find themselves in bondage, even to the ending of their lives. And the sad thing is that some of us can see that pattern in our own lives. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And as I mentioned, there's such a denial of that today. The Jews in Jesus' day, they would just reject that idea, right? They rejected the idea that they could be enslaved. You know, I had an incredibly wonderful father. And my dad was bright, hardworking, able to do incredible things. I was telling somebody the other day I was visiting with that there was never a machine made that he could not run. You know, that was one of his many talents. But I watched as my dad became enslaved to alcoholism. That took away such opportunity, that took away such potential for years. But what a wonderful day when my dad was set free. What a wonderful day when he was set free through his faith in Christ and never touched a drink again all his life. 14 years he lived beyond that day, just loving God and loving his family with all that was in him. Huh. You know, in this world that we live in today, don't you wish that God could come upon people like he came upon Samson, but not to give them strength, physical strength, but to come upon them in a way that all of a sudden their eyes would open and they would see things clearly. They would see things as they truly are, not just as they have been led to believe they are, or not as if they're pretending that they are, that they would see things clearly. I'm thinking, you know, about the story of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to retell the whole story, but the key part that I want to focus on is that part that says that as he was feeding the pigs, it says this, he came to his senses, right? He came to his senses. What would have happened, church, if he wouldn't have? Death and destruction, right? He came to his senses. But the amazing thing happened after he came to his senses. Because after he came to his senses and said to himself, I'm going back home. Even my dad's servants have it better than I do right now. The amazing thing, as you very well know, was that he had a father that was waiting for him with open arms. That father in that story illustrates the God who waits patiently for his people to come to their senses and return to him, that they might find life, that they might find that truth that sets them free, that they are not meant to be a slave, church. You're not meant to be a slave. You're meant to be a son and a daughter of God. This is the word. This is the message This is what Christ came to demonstrate. This is what he enabled. He who the Son sets us free is free indeed to be a son, a child of God, and then to live like one, to live like one. You know, my wife works as a behavior specialist for children, primarily with children with autism. And as she was in school, you know, learning how to become a behavior specialist, a board certified behavior analyst, you know, she practiced on me. Now, I don't know if she realized that I knew she was practicing on me, but I sure did. It didn't take long to figure out that she was using those principles. What principles? One of the greatest principles that she has taught me and that she's teaching these women is that, listen to this, reward is a much more powerful changer of people, of behavior, than punishment. I was reading a story about the pastor John Piper, you know, and he said that when his kids were young, right, they loved to play with blocks, right? And they would play with blocks until the cows came home. You know, in other words, they loved that so much. But there came a time when he would have to tell them to clean the blocks up, right? And here's what he said. He said, I had two choices. He said, I could stand over them and with an angry voice say, now clean those blocks up now before you get to bed, or else. He said, they would have cleaned them up. That's what he said. He said, my kids would have cleaned them up reluctantly, grudgingly, you know. He said, or I had another choice. And here's the choice that he took. He said to his children, let's see how fast we can clean those blocks up. And he got on the floor with them and started to just pretend a little bit he was helping them. And all of a sudden, he said, those kids sprang into action. And before you knew it, those kids were giggling and seeing who could put the blocks away fastest. Smart man, right? We have a brilliant God. Did you know that? Because he is the one who created us. He understands how this works, this works, this works, right? He made it. He brought Jesus to this earth to bring us a message of grace and truth and love that when we see it clearly, motivates us like nothing else can. Buddy, you know what happens? We want to do it. We want to do what's right. It's not that we are coerced or compelled. We want to do it. And you see, that path, once we're on it, that path of freedom that Jesus came to give us means that we become free to be who we're created to be. Free to be who we're created to be. No more enslaved by the things that prevent us from achieving our life's potential. We have a society today in this America and probably this world that is committed to self-love above all. And that commitment is self-destructive to family, to society, to any human relationship. And it is, my friends, Satan's greatest influence in our world today. For it is anti-Christ. It is directly opposite the message of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, we find the message of one anothering, right? One another. Love one another as I have loved you. Over and over again, then, all the writers of the New Testament pick up on that and bring us words of truth about the power of loving one another, right? Of using our freedom. Listen to this one. Using our freedom to consider others before we even consider ourselves. I found out that way back in 1807, there was a missionary to China. His name was Robert Morrison. He met, actually, with then-President James Madison. James Madison, the president, was en route to China at the time. Morrison, also en route to China, was asked by the president, "Do you really expect to make an impression on the great Chinese empire?" And you know what the missionary's response was? "No, sir, but Christ can." But Christ can. You know, I've watched my wife, my beautiful wife. I've watched her move from a woman who maybe 19 years ago, give or take, give me a little grace there. We were trying to figure it out the other day. 19 years ago, she was asked by Mark Gepper to go to China. And she said, "I don't want to go to China. Why would I want to go to China?" But Mark, persistent, certainly guided by the Spirit of the Lord, kept after her until she finally went. And that's when her eyes were opened to what? The opportunity to take what God had invested in her and use it in a way that not only God would be glorified, but that children and families would be helped. Thousands of miles away. Why? Because there was an effectual door of opportunity. And she was free to go. You know, whenever we follow the path of Christ, He will always bring into your life opportunities. But in order to take advantage of them, in order to find that incredible, meaningful purpose, helping others in your life, you have to be free. Free from the things that would keep you, right, just down and out sometimes for the count. Now, we could go around this room and I could, you know, talk to you about specific things that keep you bound. But the fact of the matter is, you know, in your life, even now, today, that you are not as free as you could be. There are still things that you're struggling with, still things that you need God to come into your life and release you from. Maybe it's fears, worries about finances or sickness. Maybe it's really, truly things that you've never been able to shake from the old self, right? That still keep you from being, you know, all that God wants you to be, made you to be. Do you know, as the worship team comes this morning, I want you to hear these words. There is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the spirit of life sets me free from the spirit of death. You know how He does it? He comes into your life. Jesus cleanses you from sin. He washes you whiter than snow. Everything from your past is gone. You don't have to have it hound you and haunt you ever again. He cleanses you from the inside out and fills you with His Spirit. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes, the reason that there's freedom is that the lights go on. The lights go on to be able to start seeing clearly. Why would I do that? Why did I do that? Why? Because I was blinded, but now I see. The lights come on. You begin to see truth. And that truth begins to set you free. The power of God begins to work in you. When you allow it to, the power of God begins to work in your heart and change you from the inside out. Liberate you from that bondage and brings you hope and help. The greatest thing that happens is that the love of God gets into your heart deep, deep in and begins to compel you in such a way that you truly want to. You truly want to do what's right. You remember that? That's the end of the sermon from 2 weeks ago. That God gives you the will to and the want to. When you allow His Spirit in and you allow that Spirit to set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, right? This morning, God wants you to be all that you're created to be. You don't have to be the same as before. Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the full. He came so that you are no longer even enslaved to only selfish desires. It opens your world and you start to see the joy of helping others. The joy of loving one another as Jesus has loved you. The joy of making such a difference in your families, in your world. And that joy comes through Christ in you. He's the hope of that glory. So this morning, let's recommit to that. Jesus, come into my life anew, and Holy Spirit, open my spiritual eyes that I can see what's really going on in my life, really what's going on in my heart. Show me the things that You indeed can set me free from, that I may be free indeed, that I may live in the depths of freedom that You desired for me, that You designed for me, free to be Your son, free to be Your daughter. Would you stand with me?